Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Today, I am wearing a pink pencil skirt, a silver belt, and like kind of a pink shiny top to go with it. I'm also wearing some dreaded hair because today I have a comedy special, a Bangers comedy special. I'm really excited about it. I don't know if many people know this, but I've started merging slowly into stand-up comedy, and I'm really excited about this endeavor because stand-up comedy makes me uncomfortable, makes me nervous, and I don't know how I focus in that journey because it just makes me feel so uncomfortable and unsafe. I've been doing drag for over 11 years, maybe 12 years at this point, and I feel confident in those realms. Stand-up comedy is so interesting because if you bomb, it's very clear you bomb. Even with drag, like, you can bomb at a drag show, but it's a different mentality. It's a different feeling. When you bomb at stand-up, you can tell because there's an audible response, right? Sometimes a drag show might not have a lot of money or not a lot of patrons, so you don't know how well you're doing. At a comedy show, if there's three people in the audience and those three people are just not laughing, it can really do a number on your mindset. So there is that to consider. But I am happy to continue on in this journey, and I think next year that's going to be one of my big focuses. I'm going to be focusing on my love life and my career and things like that and figuring out who I want to be. So, yeah. Another things that did come to light is on December 27th at CC Slaughter's, we're going to be doing our annual Kwanzaa celebration. It's going to be my fourth annual. I'm really excited about it. It should be a really good time. Hopefully everybody can come out to that. You can get tickets at www.thecdsdrag.com/Kwanzaa celebration. And I'll have that available on my website as well for you all to get your tickets. And with that, as I always ask, how you doing, listeners? Let me know in the comments. Tune in, fabulous listeners. We've got a sizzling announcement for all you drag aficionados and karaoke connoisseurs. Join us every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. for an unforgettable night of glamour and entertainment at Misfits Bar and Lounge, located at 2530 Northeast 82nd Avenue in Portland. Hosted by the mesmerizing Autumn Rains and captivating Coco Gem Holiday, this drag queen karaoke show will have you singing, dancing, and living your best life. Let loose and showcase your vocal prowess alongside these extraordinary queens as they create an atmosphere bursting with energy, laughter, and pure fabulousness. Mark your calendars and gather your squad for a Wednesday night that promises to be nothing short of spectacular. Whether you're a seasoned performer or a first-time diva, Misfits Bar and Lounge is a place to be for an unforgettable evening of entertainment, empowerment, and endless fun. Don't miss out on the fabulous extravaganza. Join us this Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and let your inner star shine at Misfits Bar and Lounge, Portland's newest queer plus space.
It's a podcast.
Check it out.
Tune into What They Tell You podcast.
Check it out.
And we are back, listeners, and it is my great pleasure to bring back on to the podcast is Carly J. Phoenix. Say hi, Carly.
Hi, Carly.
If this is the first episode people are listening to, let's still do those basic questions. So let's talk about how long you've been performing and where does your drag name come from?
Yeah. I have been performing, I always say I've been performing, for about, 7 years. I think I've been slapping makeup on for about 10 years, performing about 7, and I've been doing good drag for about 3 months. My drag name comes from, Carly is my, government name. And then the J stands for Joseph. No one ever asks. And, when I picked it, I thought it would be really funny to have a really masculine middle name that just is represented by an initial. And then, Phoenix is because I once belonged to a drag family, with the last name Phoenix. I no longer do, but I asked the matriarch if I could keep using the name because I love her. And she said yes. So that's where that name comes from.
Oh, nice. I love that. I don't actually ever think I knew it stood for Joseph. I don't think I ever asked.
Yeah, no one ever does. And it's actually it's really funny.
Like, it's really funny to me, and nobody's ever asking me what the joke is.
I literally think the only person who has ever asked me what the J stands for is Bolivia Carmichaels.
You would be curious.
That nosy bitch.
I love this. This is already great. So on today's episode, Carly and I had actually done a post about ethical non-monogamy, and Carly hit me up in my DMs and said, like, hey, I think this is a really great topic that we should talk about. And so that's what we are going to do today. And so just to get like, just to get our table set for everybody, when we talk about ethical non-monogamy, like that could be triads or polyamory, things like that, that are just non-monogamous, like, you know, traditional concepts of a man and a woman and da 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 da. And like, it's breaking that mold and breaking that thing that we see in Disney movies to have a really good conversation about the positives and negatives of this lifestyle. And right now, Carly is in a poly relationship. And so she really wanted to be able to speak on that. So I guess what my first question is to get us started is, Carly, have you always been poly, and what have you thought about it?
Yeah. Well, that's always like tricky, because it's, to me, it's sort of the same question as like, have you always been gay? Yeah, probably. But I've only known for about 10 minutes. I think I probably have always been poly. And it's funny looking back, because I've been in both, right? I've been in poly relationships. I've been in monogamous relationships. Monogamous relationships have always been tricky and complicated for me. And that's not to say that they're not fantastic and they work for some people. But they've always been tricky. And so I think probably about 5-6 years ago, a friend of mine, we were having a conversation there, and they were telling me about their relationships and poly relationships. And they recommended the book on The Ethical Slut, which I feel like everybody who's poly has probably read that book, love it or hate it. And I was like, oh yeah, this is me. Like, this makes so much fucking sense. So I think I've identified as poly for, yeah, probably about six years. And in that time, I've also been in poly relationships. I've been in monogamous relationships since identifying as poly. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, it just feels right to me. So what was your other question? I lost track.
What have you always been poly, and what did you, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I think I always thought that monogamy was the answer. And I feel like when I heard about like relationships that had like multiple partners, it was always really gross and toxic. And it was like usually related to a certain type of church, which I'm not bad mouthing, but like, I think we all know what church that is. And that was my only ever experience first. And I was like, well, this doesn't seem super great and healthy, but like, also, why are we judging? Kind of thing. And learned what being poly could mean. I was like, oh yeah, this totally makes sense. It was like a click. And I was like, yeah, no, it totally makes sense. This is me. I want to do this. This seems right for me. So yeah.
Some of, let's talk about some of the ups before we talk about downs. I know people want to, like, they're more juicier to talk about the downs, but let's talk about some of the ups. Let's talk about how have you navigated feelings of jealousy?
Ooh, that's a good one. So it's always funny to me, and I always say this, it's funny to me, the biggest thing that people always say when they're like, oh, I could never be poly because I'm just too jealous. Yeah, cool. Like, so am I. Like, I will cut a bitch. I do not care. But like, jealousy happens in all relationships, right? Monogamous or poly. And so I feel like for me, when feelings of jealousy pop up, I just over-communicate about it. Like, and it's so funny, you and I had this conversation where I was like, I feel like I should stop saying over-communicate because you can never over-communicate. And you were like, no, don't stop saying that because it's important. I communicate about everything, including like feelings of jealousy, because like if I'm feeling a certain way, I want to express that. But I also talk about it. I talk about jealousy differently now. So it's a lot more of like, I'm feeling this way and not necessarily labeling it as jealousy, just like, hey, I'm having some strong feelings. Can we talk this out? And for example, early on in my relationship, so my partner's name is Glimmer. Coco's in love with him. It's okay. I support that. When Glimmer and I started dating, early on, I was like, hey, I know that I'm going to have some strong feelings the first time that you sort of meet another chubby trans girl. And this is why. And so it was more of like, I know I'm going to feel a certain way. And it's not because of something you're doing. It's about insecurity in my own head. So it's my own insecurity. And we talked it out. And it was actually really great. So like when they did meet another chubby trans girl, they were like, I'm going to over-communicate this even more so that you feel great. It's about trying to make it's like, I try really hard when I do feel jealous or have feelings of jealousy to explain it, how I'm feeling, but also like let my partner know that like they haven't done anything wrong. And right. I mean, I guess unless they have, but typically what I've realized in poly relationships is when I'm feeling jealous, it's something in my own head. It's something, it's an insecurity of mine and nothing that like my partner has done wrong. And I've been in shitty relationships where my partner has felt jealous and has made me feel bad for their jealousy. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong, but maybe I am. And the answer is I wasn't. Like, right. I'm like, that's your insecurity. That's not mine. And I will hold your hand through it. But like, does that make sense?
It does. I want to get a definition out there, let's see if you agree with this definition so we can like have this, bare bones of understanding for people who are listening to this, who don't believe in ethical non-monogamy. So my definition of cheating is this, cheating is when you break the agreements and the trust of your relationship. So when people are like, well, sleeping with another person is cheating, I was like, but if your partner knows that you're doing this, that's not cheating because you're not breaking the agreements, or even a deeper word, the covenants of your relationship. Cheating is when you are doing, when you're breaking those bonds. That's my definition for cheating.
Oh, I would 112% agree with that. Because you define your relationship, like your relationship is between you and your partner or partners. Mm-hmm. And so whatever definition of a relationship that is, if you step outside of that, that would be cheating. But if you are acting within your agreed upon understanding of your relationship, which is why communication is so important, because your understanding of your relationship may not be the understanding of your partner's relationship. So, like, you have to first define what your relationship looks like. And then if you step outside of that, that is absolutely cheating.
So, okay. So then getting back to your point about the jealousy feelings too, is I also, like, so I did tell Carly, I don't I think that over communicating isn't necessarily a thing, because I think there is a level of toxicity that comes from, they're like, oh my gosh, you're just so anxious. And a lot of anxious people tend to what's considered to be over communicate because they need to know in certain moments where their partner stands to help them with their anxiety. And yeah, I do think that people need to work on their own anxiety. Of course, you can't have another person necessarily making you feel whole, but when you're in a relationship with a person who's a little bit more anxious, it's great to be able to answer those questions and being able to have those deeper conversations, even if it's a conversation that you had last week, but there's a nuance to it that has changed. It's like, well, what if she's wearing a blue shirt instead of a red shirt? Like, kind of stuff like that. And even though that might seem ridiculous to the person you're talking to, it's also important to the person who might have some anxious tendencies. And so then when it comes to the jealousy side of it too, I feel like I've been in situations where, like I've been gaslit to be told that I shouldn't feel jealous. And I've been gaslit to where they make me feel like I should be more jealous. And they use that as tools of manipulation, and they weaponize those things. And so that's why I think even in poly relationships, it can become really difficult, because you're trying to figure out where your jealousy is coming from. And I know where, and it's funny, you gave a great example, and I know where mine comes from. Like I came out in a very conservative, very white space. White bodies were celebrated, skinnier bodies were celebrated, and they are in the world. But when you live in a place where, like, just your skin color is just an aggressive minority, it makes you, your value starts to go down because you struggle dating. And so I would get jealous because if I caught my partner watching like porn, for instance, or something like that, and they weren't watching like interracial porn or stuff like that, back in my earlier days, I would get really jealous about that. Or when I, because I've also engaged in poly and open and FWB situations, friends with benefits situations in my past, and I sometimes would feel aggressive anxiety if the other partner was so far from the realm of what I look like. So it's actually the opposite of Carly's. Like, if they didn't look like me at all, it would make me feel like maybe I was the outlier in a negative way. And so my jealousy would come from that. And then being able to have those conversations where you're not being gaslit to being saying like, oh no, it's fine. I just like different flavors. When sometimes, because I have been in both, sometimes they really do like different flavors, and sometimes they were just figuring out, like, they were basically dating other people to eventually then leave me.
Yeah, that is, it's funny because our jealousies are like the exact opposite, but it's sort of rooted in the same thing, because I had sort of a breakdown with my partner a couple months ago. They were chit-chatting with this really pretty trans girl, who I'm also very attracted to. But I like had this weird thing where I had to have a conversation with them. I'm like, oh, well, and it was centered around passability, right? So like, I'm like, oh, they're more passable than I am. And so they're prettier than I am. And I was like, so of course you would be attracted to them. And like, you know, I don't know, I just feel this way. And so Glimmer, being Glimmer, was like, do you own a mirror? Like, you are beautiful. Like, I don't understand what you're saying, because like, you're beautiful. But I also, and then they followed up with, but I also recognize that like, what I see and what you see may be different because brains work funny. And I was like, I actually really appreciate that, because my brain does work funny. And thank you for recognizing that, like, this is an insecurity of mine. And so like, it's the same thing of like, I'm like, oh, you met this beautiful trans girl who's like more passable and like whatever. So like, oh, you're going to leave me at some point. And they're like, and it was during this conversation specifically that they were like, if we ever break up, it will be you breaking up with me. Because he was like, I can't see a world where I would break up with you. And I was like, that actually, like, I know my partner's really great, y'all. Like, he's great. You all should date him, too. but it really was like a, that moment was like, oh, yeah, okay, great. And it has, like, helped with the jealousy. But it is, it's like, it is just our own insecurities that, like, cause the jealousy often. Unless your partner is being really shitty and doing really shitty things and, like, gaslighting you, because then, like, they are sort of fueling the flames of that jealousy. But to the porn thing, it's lucky that,
actually,
like,
on that point, too, is that sometimes, and not saying this is happening to you, but I know people out there who are listening would be like, well, what if they're just saying the things that you want to hear? And my thing is, there, most people, when you're out of the honeymoon phase, you can sense whether or not what a person is saying is sincere or not. Now, some people can be master manipulators, and so it'll sound sincere, but you can, people's actions have to also align with their words, right? If somebody's like, oh, you're the only person for me, not the only person for me, but like, they're like, oh yeah, I think you're beautiful, you're gorgeous, and da 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 da. But then their actions are showing that, you know, that they wish you would have lost weight, or like all the people that they're attracted to are fully in this type of person. And then you're like, wait a second. I was like, you might have said this stuff, but I think it's because you're afraid of being alone. I was like, that, like, and most of us as humans can differentiate that. Sometimes we get caught up in our own heads because we also don't want to be alone, but usually we can figure it out. And I really appreciate that that they said that, because that is such a really great way of talking about it. Brains are funny. I loved that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny that it's interesting that you bring that up, because I'm not going to name names. But and I feel like if I say my best friend, everyone will know who I'm talking about. So I'll say a very close friend of mine, who may or may not be my best friend, was recently in a poly relationship, and that ended because they realized that maybe poly isn't for them. But then, like, talking to them after the relationship broke up, ended, where they walked away. I was like, there was some gaslighting and some stuff on the other person's part, which was interesting to me because that person had been poly and, like, identifies as poly and has been in poly relationships. But it was funny because I sort of fed into it, because, like, when this person, my friend, was talking to me about it while they were in the relationship, I was like, oh, I think, I was like, maybe this is just, you know, a learning curve for you, because this is your first poly relationship, and I don't know. But then after they broke up and they really got in, was sort of the catalyst for them walking away, I was like, oh, that's not my definition of what healthy poly relationships look like. Like, if you're keeping partners from, like, if you're keeping other partners from your partner, that's not really healthy. And then the excuse was, well, you told me you don't want to hear about it, so I didn't tell you. And to which my friend was like, it's not that I don't want to hear that you have a new partner or that you're seeing someone. I don't need the details. The details make me uncomfortable. But, like, I still want to know if you're seeing all these other people when you're telling me that you just have two partners, and then I find out that you have seven partners, like, and you didn't tell me about it. And I was like, well, ooh, that is kind of gaslighting
with that too. So, like, because there is a safety issue with that too, and I agree with that. And that's the thing, though, in the honeymoon phase, because this goes along with what you're exactly saying. In the honeymoon phase, when your friends are telling you about their new poly relationship, you're like really on board, because you're like, oh yeah, that sounds really positive and really healthy and da 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 da. And then when relationships end is when you tend to start, like, you know, you get let in the front door of this person's relationship, and you're like, oh, this living room is messy.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, to that point, it's so funny. Something that you do that I really appreciate, with your relationship with Adam is, is you talk about the good times and kind of the bad times, which, you know, you've said many times, and I love this, that, like, often you only talk about – people only talk about the bad times, and then when you break up, you're like, well, no wonder you broke up. But it's like, oh, there's good times there too, but – and we have to talk about both. But, yeah, I found myself really, like, gung-ho for this relationship. And then there were, like, other people telling them that it wasn't okay. And I was like, no, work it out. Like, I've been in poly relationships. This is a learning curve. You need to find out if this is for you. This is your first poly relationship. And it could totally be reasonable that this isn't for you. But, like, you know, give it a go. See how you feel. Work it out. There are, you know, we always talk about hard limits and soft limits. Like, is this a hard limit for you? Like, is this a full stop? Or is it like a, hey, this thing may make me uncomfortable, but I can work through it kind of thing? Because in all relationships, I think there's that sort of like soft limit, hard limit, where you're like, ooh, this makes me feel a little funny because I've never experienced it before, but let me talk about this, let me work it out. And then there are those hard stops where you're like, this is non-negotiable. I'm not going to negotiate on that.
Yeah. Well, and actually, I have a point on that. So I'm going to – which it's always good to get a little deep on these podcasts. So Adam and I had a breakdown in communication because I've been in all these types of relationships before, but Adam has not. And so Adam came at it with a mindset, and I will tell everybody listening right now that I think this is insanely toxic, even if you do it and it works for you, I still think it's toxic. The line of when you enter into poly or open relationships and the person is like, well, I don't really mind what you do as long as you come home to me. I think that is the most toxic thing in the world because that doesn't leave you like whatever you do is fine as long as you come home to me. That is so much. There's so much there's so much communication that has to be done to actually even to be able to form into a poly relationship or open relationships. And if you just say that, you don't really know what that means. The example I gave Adam after he kind of made that comment to me, in which people are like, oh, that isn't that the keys to the kingdom? And it's not. Because I was like, okay, so what about the situation if I started dating a person and then I was on a date with them, but your mom got sick? And he's like, well, wouldn't it mean that you would like come home to me immediately? I was like, well, not technically. I was like those are things that I was like, see, that's a discussion immediately. I was like, and then also if I started dating another person and it got kind of serious, I was like, what if they wanted me to go home with them for Christmas? And he's like, well, then what would I do for Christmas? I was like, exactly. I was like, you can't just say it's like open for interpretation because what happens is your feelings start getting hurt because you start being put into situations where you feel like you're being prioritized less. I was like, and in poly relationships, there are different dynamics to where there are sometimes as toxic as this is in the poly community, primary relationships, you know, because everyone should somewhat to a degree be on the same level in certain ways as you progress forward. Now, it's unrealistic to think that that is impossible or possible to do. So what I said to Adam when we were talking about it, I was like, what you're talking about involves a plethora of experiences that you haven't had to navigate before. I was like, what if I'm just, and I was like, let's do it on something that's even more realistic to happen sooner rather than later. Let's say that you're on a date and I'm just having the sads. Like, what if I'm having, because I live with depression, and what if I'm just having a really sad day and I want to just watch a movie and eat junk food? I was like, it becomes in my brain unfair, because it usually is in poly relationships, unfair for me to ask you to come hang out with me when you had a date planned with one of your other partners, because I'm just feeling a little sad, right? I was like, and so those conversations have to be important. Like, and what if your other partner, one of their rules, as we talk about soft and hard limits, is that with you're with them, one of their soft limits is that you limit your phone usage so you can dedicate your time to them because you live with me. So if I am having the sads, I probably wouldn't even be able to get a hold of you because you're not really utilizing your phone when you're with your other partner. I was like, all of these conversations are really important. And as we talk about soft and hard limits, I was like, that's what can make these so difficult. That's why I will always say the phrase of, well, you can just do whatever you want as long as you come home to me, is pretty toxic because it leaves a lot of room for hurt feelings in the long run.
It's so funny. 100%. That is so interesting because something that because I've been in poly relationships before where that has sort of been the case where they've been like, yeah, do whatever. Like, I don't care what you do as long as you come home to me. And what I hear when people say that is I'm like, no, it's okay if you mow someone down with your car, just come home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, what? That's not a realistic thing. And to a degree, like, I always have the conversation, like, I know my limits. I'm like, I don't need to hear every detail of what you're doing. I don't need to hear all of that. But I do want to communicate about, you know, certain aspects, certain expectations for both of us, certain expectations, certain understandings. I will say, and I know that, like, the concept of primary partner is somewhat of a touchy subject in these communities. I will say for me and my and Glimmer, we do use those terms. Like, we are each other. We identify as each other's primary partner. Mm-hmm. And I think for our dynamic, and I always clarify, like, our dynamic, because it's everyone's relationships are so different. No two poly relationships are exactly the same, just like no two mono relationships are exactly the same. But for Glimmer and I, we do identify as each other's primary partners. We also, when it comes to sex, we also, we are what we refer to as like fluid bonded. So, like, we don't necessarily, we've had the conversation of like protection and like, mm-hmm. do we use protection with each other versus not using protection, or do we not use protection with each other versus using protection with our other partners when it comes to sex, which is a whole separate conversation. But it's funny because that you bring up the phone thing, because I believe Glimmer and I kind of, for us, we are like, there are some minute things that like are like benefits of being each other's primary partner. But when it comes to communication, we do try, and just the relationships in general, we do try to like be as equal as possible. For example, the phone situation. We recently had a conversation where they are seeing someone new, and so they're texting them, and we had a conversation about that, where I was like, hey, like, you know, if we're hanging out and we're just chilling on the couch watching, you know, bullshitting, like, cool. But, like, we had an understanding, Glimmer and I have an understanding where if we are with someone else, like, if we're with our own, like, another partner or another person, that we try to be mindful, like, I will try to be mindful of, like, oh, I know Glimmer's on a date, so I'm not gonna text them or bother them as much, because I know they're on a date. And vice versa. So the conversation did come to, like, hey, I know that we see each other much more. That's just by nature how it's happened. Glimmer and I probably hang out 5 nights a week. Like, and so I, you know, it was like, hey, I want to be mindful of you talking to other people that you're talking to, because we spend so much time together. But like, we had the conversation of the breakdown of like, with phones specifically, where we were like, if we're doing something, like specifically like doing something, let's be mindful. And, but if we're just hanging out, whatever. But I'm like, if we are asking for each other to be mindful when we're on dates, then when you and I are on a date, let's also be mindful of phones, because that's equal, right? Like, If you and I have an understanding where we're trying to be mindful of texting each other when we're out with other people, then we need to be mindful when you and I are together of texting other people. And they were like, yeah, totally, absolutely. So it's just, it is about, that's my roundabout way of saying, like, while we identify as each other's primary partners, for the most part, we do try to have the same sort of set of rules and understandings for our other partners, because it's just, I think
that makes a lot of sense, because here's the thing with that. And this is the, once again, the problem Adam and I had. I told him, I use the two phrases, aggressive communication and constant communication, which I guess could all be lumped under overly communicating. But Adam and I's definition of our relationship is we've always had really, we've called it open communication. But I said with Polly and being open, it's like, it's aggressive communication, because things you don't think you need to talk about, you need to talk about. And I was like, and when you don't talk about them and you make an assumption, even the tiniest of assumption, it can lead to hurt feelings. And me, and this is where people on the, who are probably listening to all of this are like, oh gosh, this sounds so complicated. It's not, and it is. So for me, I'm a sense, this is when it comes to the person that, like, your relationship is your own. So me in a poly relationship, I'm sensitive. I am very, very, very sensitive. I actually think I'm an inherently non-monogamous person, but I'm also incredibly sensitive, and I have to be with partners who are respectful of the fact that I'm sensitive. So I have to communicate more than probably the average poly person might have to communicate, because I get into my head and I get introspective about what's happening in a situation. It's like when me and Adam were trying semblances of this, I would ask him, I said, why didn't you tell me this? And he kept saying, I didn't even think I had to. It didn't even register in my brain that that would be something we needed to communicate about. And then that's when I kept telling him, I was like, that's why I don't think this form of poly would work for us, because I have to literally change your brain to say, this action I'm doing, I need to be mindful, like you guys are talking about, mindful of my partner and their feelings in this moment, even if it's something as simple as, I'm just going to make it up, like they go to the grocery store together and he calls me. So I know he's going on a date, but they go to the grocery store together and he calls me while he's on the date being like, hey, we're grocery shopping together. Do you want me to pick you anything up? And in that moment, as harmless as that could be, because I know how my brain works, because my brain's funny, I would immediately think like, oh, I would have loved to do this cute little shopping excursion thing. Like, and being like, because that's just another way of bonding with your partners, going grocery shopping together. And then it would have like made me feel a way. Now, if I had known previously that it was even a possibility that this might happen, or if I had gotten a text message before they went grocery shopping from Adam being like, hey, he needs to go grocery shopping and he invited me to come along. Like, I just want to make sure you're cool with that. Like, is that, does that fit into what we're like kind of thinking about? I was like, oh my God, I appreciate the heads up. Yeah, that's super fine. I super don't care. And if you text me, okay, well, do you want me to get you anything? I'll be like, yeah, give me some popcorn. Like, so that's how my brain works. And that's, I know that's not how everybody else's brain works, but that is like, so those little pieces there are where Adam just would never think about. And that's why it's dangerous for us to be full poly, because of those moments. Now there are other forms of poly, or even friends with benefits situations, or semblances of being open that like fit more with us, because the romantic nature of being poly can sometimes be incredibly hard, especially when you have to. For me, I feel like I'm losing aspects of my partner that he will then give to other people, because I don't think that he knows how to share. With me, I can give, like, that's why. On the reverse side, like me as a poly partner, I can show all of my partners like equity and equality and what they need in their relationships, because I'm fully aware and I'm mindful of the things that they need, like consistently. And it runs through my brain as these are the people that are important to me. When Adam is very singular that this person in front of me is the most important person to me.
Yeah, that's... That's, I think, really important to like be able to like recognize that. That was heavy. And yeah. I really appreciate it. It's funny. It's interesting to me that, like, you know, something that you said. So the type of like poly that works best for me is like that aggressive communication in every aspect. Cause I'm similar to you in that, like, in many ways, I feel like I am also that person where I'm like, when I'm with someone, I can like be mindful of what they need and their needs, but, and they are important, but I'm also thinking about the other people that are in my life. Like, which that just is how I am as a person. It's so funny that you brought up the example of like grocery shopping. Cause like, that is my form of like, I'm like, I don't need some big grand gesture to like, for a date night. Like, let's go to the grocery store. Let's like do normal, cute things together. Like, Glimmer and I constantly will be like, do you want to go to the grocery store? And I'm like, yes, let's go to the grocery store. Let's like touch each other's, like, let's slap each other's butts as we like push a grocery cart around and just be cute and queer together and like make straight people uncomfortable. But it's interesting. This is funny. This works for us. It doesn't work for everybody. Cause I do think, like I said, maybe some people just don't want to know all the things, but to sort of combat that, like insecurity, Glimmer and I will like bounce date ideas off each other for dates with our other partners. Like that we'll like be like, hey, I'm going on this date with this person. You know, here's what I'm thinking. Do you think this is a cute idea? And I joke. So there's this restaurant called Roscoe's. It's like a barbecue place. And it's Glimmer's like go-to spot. They love it. I have not been. And so I joke. I'm like, I swear to God, if you bring one more fucking date to Roscoe's before you bring me, I will murder you. But so, like, it's, you know, I don't know. It's like cute things like that. But yeah, I love. It really is about finding what kind of dynamic works for you, and then just like, you know, aggressively communicating about that.
Actually. About that, like when it comes to the knowing, okay, because we've talked about it three times, so let's dig into it. I don't want to know what you're doing with the other partner, like you talked about with your friend, and you said it yourself, and I've kind of hinted at it as well, like what I don't want to know and what I do want to know. And the thing is, and we'll just dive right into it, the sexual part too. I want to never be lied to when, like, so I'll go negative first and then positive. I don't ever want to be lied to. If I ask you a direct question as my partner, and actually this kind of goes for any relationship, if your partner asks you a question, you should be able to answer as honestly as possible. But if I say, did you sleep with this person? I want a yes or no. There's no explanation or story needed. Like, I want to know, did you use protection with this person? Like, I want definitives. I don't want to like, well, you know, it kind of like, da da da, and then we didn't. I was like, because that makes it feel like you're trying to lie and be... like you're just trying to be false, and I don't like that. And so, but when it comes to the positive side of this, I think it can also be where I'm going to really get deep here. I also think it's kind of sexy as a person who's kind of like a little bit more of a domineering personality. When I ask you if you did these things, it can also be hot for me to think about you doing these things with other people. I don't want to be told things that'll make me uncomfortable, but I like to ask questions, and that can turn me on in that same vein. You're like, did you do this with them? And they're like, yeah. Was it hot? Yeah. What about this? Did you do this? Like, yeah. But if they just start like word vomiting at me, like all the things they did together, that would make me incredibly uncomfortable because I might hear things that I don't want to hear. And then if there is a space or time, and this is about my boundaries in my relationship, sometimes I will be like, I want to hear about your date, like kind of just talk to me about it. Like, and then that is me giving you permission to just talk free rein. But if I'm asking questions, I kind of want them to be more definitive answers. because that can be more of an enjoyable experience for, at least for me, which will then of course be for the both of us in that vein. Because if you're one of those people who loves to share your sexual exploits with your partner, this is the way that you can also get that out, is by being clear within the boundaries of how you want to, like we talked about it three times now, how you want to hear about your partner with other partners. And so I guess just to reiterate the point is, so how you communicate, because we talked about it three times, how you communicate in the sense of what you want to hear from your partner when they're on dates or something sexual is really important. And the boundaries of your relationship of, like, around those subjects is also incredibly important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I do, yeah, like after Glimmer goes on a date, like, or I go on a date, like, I'm like, I want to know, like, I'm like, I, there are things I want to know, like, did you guys hook up? Like, oh yeah, did you, like, did you smack their tushy kind of thing? Like, I, like, there are things I want to know, but, like, don't just word vomit at me, because I, yeah, like, I don't want to hear maybe everything. You know,
right? Like, some, like I said, like, it can be sexy to hear the things that, yeah, that are in your boundaries. But if they word vomit at you, where they're like, "Oh yeah, I took them on this date, and then like they told me about a situation with their mom, and so I left, and like I said I was going to the bathroom, but I went to the, you know, the store next door and bought them a flower, and da 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 da." I was like, "Okay, that's, I don't want to hear all that."
Yeah, I don't need to hear the details, but like. Also, it does, it's funny because this works for us. So Glimmer and I are both pan. So we're both attracted to all kinds of different bodies, all kinds of different people, but we have, you know, preferences, I guess. But our, like, the people we're attracted to are, like, we're both attracted to, like, similar body types and similar, like, personalities and all of that. So, like, often when they're like, "I met this cutie," or I'm like, "I met this cutie," the other person is also like, "Oh yeah, they're really hot. Like, they're really attractive." So from, like, a, like, sexy fun time perspective, that's fun. But to that point, I also feel like it's important to have conversations with the partner that you're engaging in those things with, to be like, "Hey, is it okay if I share aspects of this with my partner?"
So let's switch gears to, like, last remarks that I think it was a good level of negative and positives, but I don't think I did enough positives. The thing is, on, like, on my side of the equation, I do like having experiences with other people. And what I mean by experiences, because I know that can be kind of a charged word in these subjects, like, I'm not experimenting with people. It's more like I want to live life as fully as possible. And human interactions is one of those things we do in life to create valuable moments. I remember when I was poly before, I used to have a partner that we... actually, it was more of an open situation. I had one of the people that was consistent in that dynamic, was this person, like, at the aftercare was just so wonderful. Like, we would just sit there and we would talk about how we were feeling. We would talk about getting tested. We would talk about our lives. And he had kids, so, like, a wife and some kids. And it was fully all above board. Everybody knew what was going on. And it was, like, one of these things that it just made me feel closer to this person. One of the other scenarios that I, and because it also, like, made, it broke the taboo of where you can't talk about your status and condom usage, you know, in those kind of relationships. And I love that. And another positive that I had was I used to be engaged in an open relationship with this, like, older gentleman who had just been around the block a lot and taught me a lot of things sexually. That, like, I, of course, then took out into my sexual endeavors, especially when I was in my 20s, because it was one of those things of where I was learning from somebody who was a lot more experienced than I was about how to do certain things, how to make certain positions not hurt, how to make things more comfortable. And they were super willing, and, like, they made, like, oopsie moments or things that felt weird or when you would start giggling or whatever as something that was super okay. And then they also taught me that it's super okay to compliment your partner in the middle of sex, even if it's just like not about the sex that's happening, but like, you know, like the person's body in just different ways and how like that can still be an aphrodisiac. And then finally, when it comes to more just the dating side of the equation, I always say this about, this is my motto, and most people actually don't know this about me. I've been saying it for probably about 15 years. I've always said that, I define the word relationships. Now, when they come into romantic, friendship, familiar, or things like that, like all of these are considered to be relationships in your life. And you cannot expect to get everything you need, even for mono folks, everything you need from one person. You need your friends to vent. You need your friends who like scary movies to go to scary movies with. You like that other friend who likes to go to punk rock concerts. Me as an anime nerd, I have my friends that I geek out with when it comes to anime. And when it comes to even like sexual stuff, again, like there are partners who like certain positions that you really want to do or try. And then you have other partners that that's just not their cup of tea and they don't want to do that because that's their consent. That's their boundary. I was like, you also have friends who want to travel or relationships that want to travel or don't travel. You have the people who want to participate in your activism and your community awareness, and you'll have other partners that don't. Like people, I also think the meaning of life is people need people. So when it comes to poly, it's like adding a romantic nature or a sexual nature to your dynamic from a person that you are attracted to who has X, Y, and Z. But the reason that you add more partners to that equation is because now you have a partner over here who's like, oh, I love to cook and I like making food. And I was like, I like eating food. And like my other partner doesn't really cook. And like, that's how we bonded. But then I find out that they have a great familial relationship and I like getting to know their family and or their parent and all these other things. There's so many positives from coming from adding people into your dynamic. And like I tell people, if you just think about every relationship as just a relationship without any of the other rules or regulations that come to that relationship, you can kind of see why poly makes sense for people, because it's just another relationship. And then you're defining it as you get to know this person more.
I love that. I have similar thoughts. It's funny because people, you know, I've said like, you know, people will be like, well, I can't be poly because I just want one partner. And I'm like, great, but you don't have one friend. Like, so I think it is about looking at all relationships as relationships, because you're building relationships with people. And for me, at the end of the day, that is what life is about, is building relationships and building community and like having people in your life who care about you, that you're interested in, who are interested in you. And also like, you know, yeah, the sex is fun with the people you have sex with, but also like, yeah, it's just about building family and friends and community. And
even so, I have a platonic poly friend where it's romantic in nature. It's non-sexual. There's actually quite a few people in Portland who are platonic poly. And I know people just say that's just friendship. There is a difference because there is a romantic level of caring that grows that I don't have in the sense of my friends, because there's no romance involved in that way. Poly partner who we share those deep parts of our life with each other in a way that's like really caring and it's careful in a way that's really beautiful. Because once again, like you were just saying, relationship, it's just a different dynamic of a relationship.
Yeah. Also, thanks for talking about me without naming me. Oh, it's not me? Okay, my bad. No, but it's true. I have people like that. Like, that is how I characterize my relationship with Julian. Is I would say that we are like in a, you know, platonic like relationship. It's transcended to a level. I mean, that's what happens. I think maybe that's what happens by default when you've been best friends with someone for 13 years, but it really has like, you know, we share and we're more invested in each other's lives that like, you know, I think I am with other friends. And yeah, I may or may not have like put my mouth on their pee-pee from time to time. So like, I don't know, does that count? But yeah, I think it's one of those things. Relationships in general are just, no, what's that thing? No person's an island. Like relationships, just build, yeah, build relationships.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I really appreciate this conversation because I do think we focus too much on the negative about poly relationships, because the unfortunate reality is that, like, in society, monogamy is the norm, is viewed as the norm, which is stupid. And so when you talk about poly relationships, it's often I hear from a negative perspective, and I'm like, let's talk about the positive, because there are so many positive aspects of relationship. Like Glimmer, for example, has healed me in ways that my relationship with Glimmer has healed me in ways that I was unprepared for. And it's just fucking magical.
Well, and even with Adam and I having our oopsie moment when we were merging into this, I think that me and Adam now communicate about ourselves even better in a way that's so great. And he's like one of my favorite people to, like, once again, but even more so than before, like one of my favorite people to talk to when I'm feeling things and when I'm like, when I'm trying to figure out something. I feel like he understands me better, like after going through this journey, and I understand mm-hmm. him a lot more better. And so like it has improved, like it's improved our sex life. It's improved our friendship as a couple. It's improved our marriage, like being able to realize because of like the oopsie moments in our polyness that I was like, we're not communicating correctly or well enough or in the way that's making us both feel safe. That's the thing I kept saying. I was like, I need to feel safe in our relationship by the because the communication isn't happening well enough for me to feel safe enough to be poly. And mm-hmm. so like having that, now I get that. And even for monogamous people that we talked about earlier, they also want to have communication that's good enough in their relationships to feel safe. So like,
yeah,
even though we're like currently practicing monogamy at this exact moment, like of the time of filming this episode, it's our relationship is growing to where one day that we'll more than likely re-merge back into that field. But right now, what I'm getting to enjoy is everything that Carly is also enjoying, which is being healed and feeling more confident and more safe and more respected and more loved, which is literally the goal.
Yeah, no one wants to be in a gross, toxic relationship. And it's amazing to feel like, you know, you're healing, like, right, we need to work on healing for ourselves and, like, heal ourselves. But, like, it's cool to have this other person who's just pure existence in my life is healing. Like, just the sheer existence and communication with folks is just, like, changing my life. And it's a fucking cool thing. And I'm happy that, like, you have that, too. Because,
yeah,
we all deserve love.
We all deserve love.
Gross.
Whatever love. Form that takes. And whatever form that chooses to take consensually. And of age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because. Yeah, we're not going to get into those toxic conversations. Get it. Well, as we get into the end of our podcast here, I hope this was informative for you listeners, especially for those of you who might want to explore that. And I guess what I'll add, because we did somewhat miss it, I'll just kind of throw it in there a little bit for those who are just thinking about it. Like, we didn't talk about how you talk to your partner about wanting to potentially be poly. So what I'll just tag on is this. You should feel safe enough in your relationship to have a conversation about anything. And it doesn't mean you're in a bad relationship if you can't. Like, you know, there are certain subjects that might make your partner feel a little funny. and whatever, but get to a level to where you can have those dialogues. And then also remember, don't force people into relationship dynamics that they don't want to be in. You should broach the subject, not necessarily ask or force. It should be a conversation with you and whatever. And we're talking about people who want to do it after they've already been in a relationship. Because usually when you date somebody, they'll usually tell you in the first couple of dates that they're poly or not or whatever, and that's fine. But if you're in a relationship and you're thinking about this lifestyle, or you think it might really help strengthen your relationship, then have the conversation, have the dialogues, read the book, The Ethical Slut. Most poly people have, like Carly mentioned. And then if your partner isn't interested in that, it doesn't mean it's a definite no. It also just means that work on the areas of your relationship that make your partner not feel safe enough to do that. Now, there are some people who are truly monogamous and they will never open, and that's fine. But there are some people who just don't want to do it because they feel they have some insecurities. They feel unsafe. They think that maybe your relationship's been in a rough patch a little bit, and they don't think that this will fix it. And never be poly if you're going to fix a rough patch. That's not a thing. That's not a thing at all. So those are my
things. Do not be like, ooh, I'm having a hard time with my relationship. Maybe we should introduce other people into it. Like, that's not the best way to fix a relationship. Maybe it is. Maybe I just haven't found the magic for it. But, like, my logic is, like, and I am not, like, a professor of poly relationships, but, like, my thought is, like, I have never had the thought of, like, hey, I'm having this really hard time with this mono relationship. Maybe I should, like, get a third. Like, you know? I don't know.
It's like blasting to Facebook about your problems. It's literally the definition for me. I'm having problems in my relationship. So I think the best way to solve this is to let more people have an opinion.
Yep.
about it. That is so silly to me. So yes.
Yeah. This
don't
isn't,
ever do it this fix or spice.
Yeah. This isn't like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. We're not asking the audience. Like, if we're not phoning a friend in this situation.
And let me be cautious, and I will say it this way. If you want to spice up your relationship by having, like, a three-way, that's doable.
Different.
Or, like, that's so different, and that's so doable. If that's something you want to do, absolutely go for it. I was like, but do not ever go into that situation wanting to spice it up thinking, Polly, is that? Poly is commitment and relationship. Like,
yes.
Open relationships also have a level of commitment and understanding and communication. If it's just like a birthday three-way, go for it. Have fun. Experience that. But don't bring other people in that have feelings, emotions, thoughts, wants, and needs just because to fix your life. That's so uncool. Don't do that.
Yeah. If you want to rail someone together because, you know, it's a Tuesday and you're feeling spicy, cool. But, like, it's not, like, you know, I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much, Carly, for this conversation. I feel like we could probably have a whole series on this at this point. There were so many topics.
Yeah, we did talk about a lot of different things.
Well, I appreciate it. Say bye to the kids, Carly.
Goodbye to the kids, Carly. Oh.
Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.